Get ready for the quackening, Microsoft call to notice errors on your computer, and always use a VPN, except when it doesn't work. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning and welcome to the August 19th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch. This is your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent. Excellent, brother. How the heck are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. I just found out that Janet Jackson once had the power to crash computers. Had you heard of that?
Do explain.
So back during Rhythm Nation, when she released the music video, some researchers found that they were playing the music video on one laptop because, you know, that's what we do, right? We get down. And they were playing the music video on one laptop and it crashed. And then they start testing and they realize playing it again crashed another laptop near them. It turns out that the music video generated the proper resonance to crash the 5,400 RPM drives that were running on these laptops. There were specific models and it was like the perfect one to crash them. It was like the fabled brown note on Seinfeld.
It's the brown note. That's the brown note for computers right there.
There you go. So we'll put the link in the show notes, but I figured I couldn't have a dispatch without sharing that wonderful piece of knowledge, but you have some news for us,
with
right?
That. Yes. Let's get into the news. And for the first story, as shown in TheVerge.com, the new USB rubber ducky is back and it's more dangerous than ever. The USB rubber ducky looks like an unremarkable USB flash drive. So innocent, it was even featured in a Mr. Robot scene. Plug it into a computer, however, and the machine sees it as a USB keyboard, which means that it accepts keystroke commands from the device just as though a person was typing them in. Everything it types is trusted to the same degree as the user that is logged into that particular machine. Perhaps most impressively, it can steal data from a target machine by encoding it in binary format and transmitting it through the signals meant to tell a keyboard when the caps lock or numbers lock LEDs should light up. With this method, the attacker could plug it in for a few seconds, tell someone, "Sorry, I guess the USB drive is broken," and take it back with all of their passwords saved. Ducky Script 3.0 is a feature-rich language that was just released, letting users write functions, store variables, and use logic flow controls. For example, if this, then that, which allows it to get around most of the hurdles out there. It also comes with an online development suite, which can be used to write and compile attack payloads and then load them onto the device. The current device lists for $59.99 per unit. Ray, let's unpack this a bit. Because first off, this thing is just so darn cute. It's the little rubber ducky. It's like those little rabbits in Monty Python's. There's so many things to talk about here. Is this what can be considered the absolute driver for social engineering policies to prevent them from occurring, from people just wandering blindly to a computer, going from computer to computer to computer, locking your computer when you walk away from it? There's so many questions I have about this particular topic because, like I said, it's just so cute, but absolutely deadly. What are your thoughts on this?
Isn't that all of Australia? It's so cute, but deadly. It's funny because I look at this and I'm like, I know what a rubber ducky is. I've followed Darren Kitchen forever. Hack 5 is freaking amazing. The rubber ducky and all, you know, the Wi-Fi pineapple and all the fun stuff. They're cool. They're awesome. I love toys, you know, much like we were talking about my little USB voltage regulator thing, right?
They're still cool have to stuff. Get that thing.
And then I go back and I'm like, I know better. I would never plug in random stuff in my network. I would never do this. And then I look at a Discord that some friends of my, and I are in. And I'm like, one of the dudes gave me a link today And it was like two letters, a hyphen, another two letters, .com. I didn't think twice about copying and pasting it. Like, I didn't, like, not even for a second. Why? Because these are my friends, you know, and I'm, but if I gave you a cute rubber ducky USB, and I'm like, look, this is from my, actually, this is a good example. This is from my friends at, this is from Darren over at Emmybot. This is a cute USB. If I gave this to you, Tony, I'm sure you would be like, okay, Ray gave it to me. Not a big deal to plug it in.
100% I plugged that in. Yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah, and then what do you know? Boom, compromised. And we have Wes Spencer telling us why we can't get cyber insurance anymore.
You know, like, we get it. What a lead back to the story.
Right, yeah, no, and it's magic because they're seeing this story first, even though we recorded the second one first. So we just did a Back to the Future here. But you get what I'm saying, right? Like, these things, it's hard, and we're security cognizant. I'm not going to call either one of us security experts, but we're aware. We're cognizant. We're absolutely educated. And we're admitting to we would fall for a lot of this stuff. And so, yeah, I feel bad for the general public. You know, I feel bad for them because what hope do they have? The MSPs are telling them what to do and what not to do, and they're hopefully training and coaching and, you know, doing what they can. But at the end of the day, it's a cute rubber ducky, man. I want to plug that in.
But I mean, just not to completely destroy all those that are neurotic out there already, and they're listening to something and they're saying, wait a second. So if I walk away from my computer for a moment, somebody plugs something in, they steal instantly everything and they walk away. You're saying that that can happen. Yes. With the new rubber ducky 2.0. Congratulations.
And if you want to know what to get me for Christmas, no, don't send me any USB. I never learned. Why don't we go to our next one? You know, I'm not learning
here. Yeah. Let's pull a Quentin Tarantino and let's jump back forward to the next story and talk about the insurance from something like that happening.
Let's do it. As reported by Brandon Vigliarolo on the Register, SJ Computers alleged Travelers Casualty Insurance Company owed far more than it paid on a claim of $600,000 in losses due to a business email compromise attack, commonly known as BEC. Courts dismissed this and said it was a clear instance of social engineering, a crime for which the insurer is only liable to cover a fraction of the total losses, not computer fraud. According to the court's dismissal filing, SJ Computers did not suffer financial losses because the CEO received email from a bad actor. The company suffered financial losses because the CEO opened these and did not do enough to confirm the authenticity of the invoices on the emails before paying them. Joining us to talk about this is Wes Spencer, VP and Channel Chief at Fifth Wall. How are you doing, Wes?
Ray, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So for those that don't know, Wes is VP and Channel Chief at Fifth Wall Solutions, who is an insurance, let me say this correctly, an insurance distributor of carriers, right, for MSPs?
Yep, to their distributor, clients? Wholesaler. Yep, both are fair. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we just did a partner first on this a few minutes ago. So we'll put the link in the show notes if you want to go see that with Wes and Reed. But Wes is, you know, de facto knowledge person, subject matter expert here. Wes, we just talked about this on Partner First about, you know, we actually just talked about this story about, you know, insurance is not paying out, which is the big scare in MSPs. What makes this one different from the most common cyber insurance claims?
So a couple things on this. First of all, it's cut and dry business email compromise. I mean, we all know what business email compromise is. It's not like hacking in the sense of like someone found a vulnerability in a system and, you know, ran ransomware everywhere through it. It's going after users. And so, Ray, what's interesting on this one is definitely a misunderstanding on the client part. And it's a tough one, right? Like, I understand why the client would be really frustrated and didn't understand this. And I can understand why they would take Travelers to a lawsuit. But when you look at the fine details on this one, it's no surprise that the courts threw this one out once they kind of saw what was going on. And, you know, when you look at this, usually when you look at business email compromise, which is we call this a sublimit inside of a policy. And so what happens in a lot of these cases is you might have $1 million in coverage, but you're going to have a couple sublimits. And one of those areas that's always sublimited is social engineering based attacks. And so this one in this traveler's policy was apparently at 100,000. And so when they looked into the details of all of this, travelers said, hey, sorry, this is not actual like computer fraud that would go in the top level 1 million of coverage. This is a sublimit. It's our limits are 100,000. That's all we're going to pay out. And that's kind of what happened on this one, Ray.
I mean, Wes, that makes sense. As I understand it, they originally went for that they originally filed it correctly and then realized, wait, we can get so much more money if we do it this way. That sounds almost fraudulent to me, right? I mean, well, fraudulent, or is it really just trying to they're trying to get what they can out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Who's to say in that sense? I can't read into their minds and certainly have not read into like the details of the actual case. So I'm not sure if they were intentionally trying to like fraudulently get more money out of it or is just a genuine misunderstanding. But regardless, you know, they definitely had a disagreement there and took travelers to court over it and clearly lost. And it's no surprise that they lost. But yeah, it's definitely one of those damaging ones. I think the lesson learned in this is when you're looking at your own insurance, understand your limits. You will get a breakdown of all of those, and you've got to ask your carrier, where are my limits and where are areas of systemic risk that I should be aware of? And one of those is absolutely social engineering-based attacks.
Is that, I mean, because, you know, you talk to MSPs and any business owner, and they know their GL, their E&O, they know their PL, they know their limits. They'll say, yeah, it's $1 million per occurrence, $3 million aggregate, whatever. Like, we always talk about the big numbers. I'll be honest, I'm first to say I rarely look at those individual event sublimits. But you're saying this is a common thing. This is something we should all be aware of.
Yeah. So as far as sublimits, you'll always have a few areas that are sublimited. And I can actually give you a few of those. So it's not just, see if I can get back over to this. It's not just, so the three categories usually that you see are engineering or electronic theft, social engineering, and telecommunications theft. Those are three categories that usually are sublimited. And then all the others are going to be up to the full aggregate limit, right? So like actual fraud, credit monitoring, all of these things. If you have $1 million coverage, that's the aggregate limit that all those categories go up to for a full million.
Yeah, you just told the VoIP guy that telecommunications fraud is one of the sublimits. Thanks for that.
Isn't that great?
Anyway, we'll include, and this is exactly why vendors such as Fifth Wall are so necessary in the MSP space to help walk you through this stuff so you know exactly what you're doing. We'll include Wes's links below to reach him and reach others at Fifth Wall, as we will include the link to the Partner First that he was just on. Wes, thank you so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. And maybe one other quick last thing. This is not specifics, right? I'm required to say that by insurance. I'm just giving you generalities. But yeah, Ray, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Absolutely. All right, Tony. You just came back from ChannelCon. I was unable to miss it. I have my team going to 7-figure. We always talk about using VPNs because that's what protects us, right?
As you said, using a VPN is always the best choice, unless it just doesn't work, and it unfortunately just doesn't work on iOS devices. As shown in 9to5mac.com, a well-known security researcher says that the iOS VPN apps, virtual private networks, are just broken due to a flaw that he claims Apple has known about for at least 2.5 years. This backs a previous story by Proton VPN that a VPN vulnerability has been present on iOS devices since at least iOS 13.3.1, and that there's no 100% reliable way of ensuring that your data is being sent via VPN on iOS devices. Just for clarity, a VPN works by sending your data in an encrypted form to a secure server. The data is protected from an ISP or carrier, or even a hotspot operator. All they can see is that you are, in fact, using a VPN. As soon as you activate a VPN app, it should immediately close down all existing non-secure data connections and then reopen them inside your new secure VPN tunnel. This is an absolute standard feature for every and all VPN services out there. The problem, says Horowitz, is that the iOS doesn't allow the VPN app to close any existing non-secure connections. VPNs in iOS are essentially broken, At first, they appear to work fine. The iOS device gets a new public IP address and the new DNS server. Data is sent to the new to the VPN server. But over time, a detailed inspection of data leaving the iOS device shows that the VPN tunnel actually leaks. Data leaves the iOS device outside of the VPN tunnel that was originally established. Horowitz confirmed this multiple times through multiple types of VPN and software from multiple VPN providers. The latest version of iOS that was tested is 15.6. Horowitz's lengthy post describes how he identified the problem in an iOS 1 by using multiple devices and multiple VPN apps. He also said that he notified Apple, and the company initially engaged with him, but later on went silent. Proton suggests switching to airplane mode and then switching it off, but says it cannot guarantee this will work. Horowitz tested and found that it used to work back in iOS 12.5.5 and does not do so in iOS 15. I would expect that rebooting the phone would work, but Horowitz doesn't appear to have specifically tested this. Ray, we just got done talking about security concerns. Sending a 100% neurotic tidal wave throughout our whole community. Then we bring in an insurance expert to talk about insurance to hopefully give some type of reparation for said security breaches. Now we're telling you even the preparation that we're warning you about, it's kind of invalid. What are your thoughts on this?
I give up.
I think you just said what everyone is saying right now.
I'm done. Like, if I can't trust a cute rubber ducky, if I can't trust my VPN, like, you know what I mean? I would, and keep in mind, you know what they say about statistics, right? 89% of the statistics are made up 25% of the time, 100% of the time. So on the spot. So, you know, but I'm guessing it is not a majority of people who use VPNs in daily practice or even when they travel. It's not a common occurrence, right? I do. I know you do, right? Because that's one of our pre-checklists. You use a VPN and you turn it off so we could do this. You know, and I absolutely do. I always use my own internet connection. I use my own VPNs. We do, you know, tons of safe SaaS stuff. But now we're saying the VPN itself, and I'm not clear, because it's so many VPNs affected, this seems to be an OS level thing. This is something that, you know, iOS device users can't really do anything about. And to be clear, we don't have all the information. We just have a lot of things we've tested, but it's frustrating. Now, don't get me wrong. Part of me wants to say, ha ha, iOS never has any breaches. Ha ha ha, Android. But, you know, but the truth of the matter is this just, let's look at the positive. The positive takeaway here is we know, we've preached all the time, every security researcher has preached over and over, it's not if you'll be breached, it's when you'll be breached. It is not one tool that's going to save you. It's a series of things you're going to do to protect yourself to the best of your ability. So using a VPN, using DNS over HTTPS, using known endpoints. If you could do hub and spoke to your own data center, even better. You know what I mean? You do all these things. You only visit sites that are encrypted, you know, with TLS, whatever, 1.2 or whatever it is. You know what I mean? You do these things. And you do a little bit of praying and a little bit of hoping and hope for a little bit of luck. And if you can, that's it. You know, that's the best you can do. I don't know what else to do here.
There's so many things. I think the general rule, though, is, like I think I mentioned before, if security is kind of like riding a horse, if you're comfortable doing it, you're not doing it right. This is a long process. The best thing that we could actually do is keep everyone informed. And what I'd really, really like is for everyone to reach out to us and tell us what you are doing. Did you know about this iOS VPN vulnerability? Are you updating your customers with this? There's so many things that you, the MSP, our audience, are actually going to be the visual representation for on this. So the best thing that we can do is update you with everything, but we love your feedback. Ray, what's the best ways to reach out to us?
reach out to us at news@mspmedia.tv. Hit us up on Twitter. Shoot us in the comments below. Hit us up on Reddit, on MSP Geek, on Slack. Put up some carrier pigeons. We'll find them. But we want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on, because we definitely want to keep you informed in the stories you care about. Speaking of, it seems to be this is the security episode. Tony, you got a notable mention about Google Chrome and the world is ending?
And on our first notable mention, as shown in ArsTechnica.com, Google announced an update on Wednesday to the stable channel of its Chrome browser that includes a fix for an exploit that exists in the wild. It looks like there's a new vulnerability found in Chrome that can allow an attacker complete access to your computer that's actively being exploited at this moment. If you use Chrome, make sure that you're running 104.0.5112.102 or 104.0.5112.111 for Mac.
As reported by Bryce Durbin of TechCrunch, TechCrunch launched a spyware lookup tool that allows anyone to check if their Android device was compromised by spyware apps. The launch follows an investigation by TechCrunch into spyware apps that share the same server infrastructure and security flaw, leaking the personal phone data of hundreds of thousands of Android users. Spyware apps are often installed by someone with physical access to a device and are designed to stay hidden from home screens, but allow that person to view the victim's phone data in real time. The tool aims to help victims check if their device was hacked and reclaim control over it. In our feedback, we want to say thank you to three different Reddit users who pointed out that our links that we shared on Tuesday were broken. The YouTube links worked. However, the links I put in Reddit were not. Normally, my fantastic staff does those postings after we record. This Tuesday was me, and that's why it's broken. So I apologize. And another feedback from our good friend Isaac over in one of our Discord channels. Writes that he thinks it's time we should get a different bleep. Tony, our last episode where we were talking about shit, he doesn't think the bleep we use for all the shit and all the good enough. So I want to know what the fuck you think about this sprinkles.
Wolf.
So, Isaac, I hope this shit is enough for your shit, so we've changed this shit for you. Nobody should ever say that.
Yes!
And we should close that with that's right. Let us know how we did, Isaac.
In our community events, next week we have a lot of things happening. On the 21st through the 23rd, an in-person event, Exchange in Denver, Colorado. On the 23rd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network with Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco. On the 23rd and 24th, we have another in-person event, the ASCII Success Summit in Miami, Florida. On the 24th and 25th, another in-person event, Seven-Figure MSP Live event in Charlotte, North Carolina. And on the 26th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch weekly wrap-up presented by Ray Orsini and Tony Francisco.
Don't forget to check out our other shows on MSP Media Network, such as 38 at 38, hosted by Mr. Aaron Bolton.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane, worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice. If you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Tony, that's all she wrote. This was a hell of a episode. But thank you for getting through it, man. You're muted.
Hey, look, Awesome. That's what I said. That's exactly what I said. It was so awesome. The sound couldn't come through. People still can't hear when I say awesome.
Amazing. That's all I'm saying. You know, I'm going to be changing my pronouns to amazing. I will answer as that. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for putting up with our shenanigans. Have a great rest of your week.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
As reported by Brandon Vigliarolo, and I apologize if I butchered that, on the Register, SJ Computers alleged Travelers casualty. All right, one more time.
In our notable mentions, update Chrome now. As it illustrated in ArsTechnica.com, the Chrome patch has been updated that it is actively
In our feedback, we want to say thank you to three different Reddit users who posted out or pointed out. They didn't point that out. That was just me. I don't think he's muted. I think it's when he goes.
No, it's me. It's me. It's me.
Oh,
me,
it is
it's
you? Me. All right. Fuck you then.
It's me. Ah. Okay, ready. Here we go.